This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
I feel like Alan Jackson, I feel like he's not in step with this the way he was last time. I don't understand why he kept pushing some of these witnesses in the way that he did, getting them to like literally repeat over and over that she said she hit him. I'm like, make it stop. Like, if that's the witness you're talking, like, you don't want them to keep saying it over and over and over. I felt like they gave like Jen McCabe a second, like, okay, do it again. Do the encore.
or do you?
Because I don't know. Give me that perspective. Like, what?
Look at the flip side of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if your position's going to be like, all right, if she's going to say it over and over and over, here's where we're at as a defense. We have science behind us. I don't give a shit what Jen McCabe's saying that she said that Karen said that morning, because you have problems with, you've got Nuttall and McCabe are the two people who said it, yet none of the cops heard it. None of the cops have it in their reports. But bigger than that is the science. The science just doesn't prove up the fact that she hit him. It doesn't fucking matter what Karen Reed says. Yeah. Like, at some point, if you're the defense, there's no point in trying to turtle away from it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like, you can't, they're like, sometimes you just got to take the bullet and you've got to try to say, okay, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. Like, Jen McCabe's claiming this. We're trying to show that she may have had reasons to not be truthful about what she's claiming that Karen said, mm-hmm. you know, and
but
at the end of the day, we're going to rely on these two guys that were hired by the Department of Justice, that were truly independent, that weren't mm-hmm. the hired gun, that are going to come in and testify that they're going, you know, the way that they're going to testify. And it's going to be exactly as to what they testified in the first trial, that everything that they've seen between the injuries and the vehicle are inconsistent with a motor vehicle pedestrian strike. And I mean, that's the best evidence in the case. That's what I keep saying. Like, everything else is bullshit.
Yeah.
Everything else doesn't fucking matter. You have to look at the things that matter. So then the problem for the defense is, how do you explain the taillight? And I mean, and it's a problem for the prosecution too, because if you're telling me, if it's Hank's position that John got clipped, which is what he said in the opening, how are you explaining a exploding taillight that's got taillight strewn all over the yard? Like, I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. we're talking 46, whatever, 46, 47, yeah. 8, with like however many pieces it is. That's a problem for the prosecution as well. Like, the taillight is not some kind of definitive evidence. It's a real issue for both sides. Mm-hmm. The problem for the Commonwealth is that the guy that they have at the center of it all is Michael Proctor.
Yes.
And you know, he is just the gift that keeps on giving for the defense, and he is the nightmare for the Commonwealth. Yeah. And the same way that you had every one of those defense attorneys talking and sitting down about how to handle certain issues in a case, like every good attorney does heading into a trial, you know what your warts are in your case. You know what your big issues are. Mm-hmm. You know the things that you have to deal with. And believe me, you know, Morrissey, Lally, and Brennan, and McLaughlin were all in a room talking ad nauseum about how they're going to deal with the Michael Proctor problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Yuri Bukinek was the guy they decided to take the bullet.
Yeah.
And they're going to put him on the stand. And, you know, I think what we're going to see is that the defense is going to call Michael Proctor. And, you know, I mean, Brennan can use that to his advantage, because in that circumstance, he'll get to cross him, mm-hmm. where he'll get to ask leading questions. You know, I'm not calling it something like, people are like, it's a stroke of genius. I'm like, no, it's not. The guy just couldn't call him during his case in chief, because he's a giant flaming piece of shit, mm-hmm. and he's a huge problem for the Commonwealth that can just submarine their case.
Yeah.
Because now the other people that have had another trial to prepare for Michael Proctor have used that time accordingly, and you can be rest assured they're going to be coming at him as hard, if not harder. So you just don't call him. You force him to get called by the defense. They're obviously going to try to treat him as an adverse witness, which means that they'll be able to cross-examine him as well. But from Hank Brennan's perspective, that allows him to cross-examine, which allows you to control the witness in a much much better way than you can during a direct exam. So that'll be really interesting. You know, I mean, and that Michael Proctor factor, if it is a defense that calls him, we talked about this, I think last week too, like, where's his head at? Yeah. You know, like where's that guy at? Like he has been made the fall guy. He lost his career. Granted, he was a piece of shit. You know, I mean, these cops, I'm sure, like if you were to dig through every cop's text about any case that's going on, they're texting other cops in their department and they're part of the investigation. I'm sure that you're going to be seeing very similar text messages.
Sure, like, I agree.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no excuses to Proctor. But you just don't expect as a cop that shit's ever going to be made public.
And here's what I'm wondering about Proctor this round is they've very successfully painted Karen Reed, the prosecution has, as a very unlikable character, to put it lightly. Proctor clearly didn't like her. I'm not saying he conspired to do anything, you know, with the whole we're going to get her shit. I think that's more like he knows what a shitty person Karen Reed is via his buddies, via the cops, because John O'Keefe was probably getting ready to break up with her, it seems like, it sounds like, and even attested to that to his friends. And I'm sure stories have come out amongst those friends about what life is like with Karen Reed. So when they find out that Karen supposedly is the one who hit him, yeah, that she's going down. Like the hell that she put him through, and then this happens. I don't excuse any of his behavior, the way that he talked about women or anything like that. I think he's a piece of shit. But I think he's going to be understood better this round, because if people are already not liking Karen Reed for the various reasons that they may, and they're hearing the cop going and being very derogatory about her, also not liking her, I think you're going to have some people in that jury box going, I get it. I get why he doesn't like her. Doesn't not excuse his behavior.
Like, where's Proctor getting any information about Karen and John's relationship?
I'm saying
he informed an opinion 16
I'm saying
hours
talking
into this
with fellow cops behind the scenes about
how the fuck would they know?
Because
you know what
they,
I mean? Like
they
don't know
John.
What Karen and John's relationship was. Like,
but
they
these people are friends, they're buddies. So yeah, I'm sure John talked to people about his relationship.
By all accounts, everybody liked Karen. Like that,
they
like
did,
that,
but
like
there,
none
but
of that
people
tracks.
Did
it's
know
like
that he was getting ready to break up too.
Like people don't fucking know. It's like saying like your friends that you hang out with like know what goes on in between the walls of your home. They have no fucking idea what's going on in your relationship. You know what I mean? It's like anybody saying like you know.
Others have attested to this that they knew that they wasn't happy.
But what I'm trying to tell you, man, is like, you know, everybody puts on appearances when they go out. No one knows what's going on in a personal relationship. I mean, we saw the text messages. That wasn't like just John breaking up with Karen. Karen was giving just as much. She's like, you know, I think the kids are a real impediment to our relationship. I mean, like, I'm just reading it completely different than you. Like, this wasn't like, John, I can't stand this fucking bitch. I can't wait to dump her. This was like two people that had a relationship that had some duration. And I think we're like realizing this probably doesn't have legs. I was not getting any sense that Karen Reed was like cowering. I mean, she's a very successful woman. Mm-hmm. She's educated. She had a really well-paying job. She's done very well for herself. She's an independent woman. Casting her as some kind of succubus who like needed John O'Keefe, you know, for her life to be complete is fucking ridiculous.
I don't think she did. I'm not saying that she did.
But you're kind of insinuating it. And it's like the reality of the situation. If you look at the text, the last text between John and Karen, I'm not getting any sense of what you're saying that like John was getting ready to dump her and she was all bitter and angry. I mean, it's like,
I'm not saying she
like
was
the
bitter
words
and angry.
Don't belie that.
That's not what I'm saying though. I'm saying
you just said that Proctor was hearing shit from other cops that this relationship was on the rocks and that Karen was a fucking nightmare to deal with.
It seems like they did have an opinion about her.
Proctor did.
Yeah.
Based on nothing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Based on what? Right? I mean, is he just randomly calling her a bitch? I mean, or is there something behind it where he seems to have some animosity? Because there has been other people who have said John had been talking about breaking up with her. And
that's a shit. Like those people don't know a guy. I mean, you saw the actual text messages between John and Karen. Mm-hmm. You use that as your best judgment. Like that annoying text stream that we all had to sit through where it seemed like you had like two 17-year-olds instead of just coming out and saying shit.
I'm not saying any of this says that she was angry and tried to kill him on purpose.
But what I'm saying is your best evidence of what the state of that relationship was at that moment in time are those text messages. As juvenile as we all may think that they may have been, the fact of the matter is that if you parse it for some real information, you saw that Karen was like, look, you know, we had a blowout this morning. You know, I want to try to work past it. We clearly have some issues in our relationships. And, you know, clearly you don't like the way that I handle the kids. And I don't like the fact that you are hammering me for the way that I handle the kids because I like to spoil them a little bit. And you're a little sterner with your parenting. I didn't necessarily sign up for a relationship where there were going to be two kids injected immediately. You know, so like you could see all that shit taking place. You know, I mean, Karen has dated, I'm sure, many, many men in her life. And, you know, like she wasn't so hung up on John that anything that the Commonwealth would try to impute on her in terms of her having some kind of like revenge in her heart just has fallen on deaf ears with me.
I don't feel like it was revenge in her heart.
As far as Proctor goes, fuck that guy. That guy, he knew nothing. He formed an opinion on the case and that's where he went. He's calling her a fucking bitch. That bitch is going down. Whatever, all the nasty shit that he was saying, because it's called tunnel vision, T.
Yeah.
Like, it's a simple thing. Like, he had decided that she hit him. And whether that was based on, I don't know where he got that. Like, he's looking at, all right, well, there's some taillight here, or, you know, maybe somebody did talk to him. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there. That's what I'm saying. Like, that part of the puzzle, you got to try to piece shit together in terms of, like, why did all these people act so fucking bizarrely, like, in that house? I mean, If it was you, Tony, and it was your house, you know, just to make sure that you cleared your name and you didn't get like somebody like fucking talking shit and like all kinds of theories being thrown about in this little small town of 25,000 people about what may or may not have gone on in your house, I would have been like, you know what? Come the fuck in. Yeah. Look all around, dude. Like, look, this dude was not in my house.
Yeah.
He never came into my house. Come in, scour it. I don't give a shit. I'm going to go hide my weed bag in my safe. But, you know, other than that, you guys have at it. It's like none of that shit happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like even the simple question of, hey, can we do a consent search? Can we just take a peek around the house? You know, and it's like that concept of Albert not coming out like you said. I don't know how you take that. If I looked out my window and saw,
I'd be running outside.
Ambulance, three cops out, like walking around on my front yard. I'd be, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I don't. You know, that doesn't make any sense to me.
No. I don't know.
No.
So you know, like I could probably get you swaying one way or another. All I'm suggesting to you is live in the land of the science, brother, because that's where this case that it's our best evidence. It's going to be the best. It's going to be the best way for us who will never, none of us will ever know.
What about, really, and we haven't seen this yet, and we don't know if we will, but we do know that there is going to be more vehicle data coming out. What if that vehicle data shows a strike?
I mean,
that's the science right there.
If the vehicle data shows a strike, then that's pretty fucking definitive evidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that's in existence, that would have been my first witness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that would have been, you know, I'm about to flamethrow this case right now for the jury. And I'm about to put out the strongest piece of evidence that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to tell you that the data from the black box said that there was a vehicle strike at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why are you waiting? I don't know. Like the concept that, you know, you're trying to build a case. If you have evidence like that, I would consider that to be smoking gun evidence. You're coming out of the box with a haymaker and knocking the defendant right the fuck out in the first round, because anything the defense does after that's going to be falling on deaf ears, because you know what? They just told us that the vehicle data said that there was a vehicle strike at this time. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I haven't heard there was any vehicle data like that. I highly doubt it, but
It's beyond the OnStar data that is coming. So it's more in tune with the actual vehicle itself, not just the OnStar.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it's like Murdoch type shit.
Yeah, I mean, is what will it say? I have no idea.
I have no clue.
But I'm wondering if we're going to see something like that that is more definitive into that direction. Again, that's just speculation.
I mean, we talked about that a lot during trial one, especially with respect to, you know, this concept, like, why aren't they coming up with like exactly that type of data? Yeah. And I think kind of a general consensus that I was getting from the public on my Twitter was that you typically get that kind of data at lower speeds, like where you're getting like on my Audi, if I'm backing up slowly, like I get those alerts, and then it's got also the auto brake, you know, like where it just crams on my brakes against my will, and it's horrifying. It feels like I hit something when it employs my brakes for me, but at higher speeds, you don't get that kind of reading, like for whatever reason.
And I'm wondering,
I mean, we'll see what there is. I have to believe if they had some kind of smoking gun evidence like that, that would have come out right away, you know. Yeah. And then you end it with Welcher. You start it with that, and then you end it with Welcher, and say, okay, I'm gonna prove up what the car is telling us happened by throwing some more science at it. So, from what I hear, Commonwealth is near done with their case.
Yeah,
and they've got a long way to go, prove Karen Reed did anything. Because right now, all they're leaning on are the clips
of Karen Reed saying that she did
Of Karen Reed saying all kinds of shit. So,
yeah,
we'll see how it lands, man.
Yeah, it's the science versus Karen Reed, actually. And it's quite a matchup there. It's science against Karen's own words. It's going to be interesting to see how the jury feels about this at the end of all of it.
It's all that matters.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.